Good morning. I couldn't hear any of you. Let's try it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Look like Annabelle's awake and alive. This morning I'm going to share with you celebrating grace. Most of Southern Baptist Convention Church study the series of Luke, and most of us, I'm talking about Baptist Church, study the lesson celebrating grace this morning. So I want to use this opportunity to share with you the message from the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 14 to 22. If you have the Bible, let's just open the Bible and read together with me from the Bible, not from the slides, okay? If you have the Bible. iPhone or smartphone, that'd be fine. The passage is very, very familiar because our church, you know, the first Sunday of the month, we always had the communion service. But as a church, we had never have like a sermon about celebrating grace, about communion service. When the hours came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until I find no fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, even for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which poured out of you. But the hand of him who is going to betray him is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed. But woe to that man who betrays him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for learning the message and being here at the church. So all the Baptist church this morning learn about the grace. Learn about celebrating grace this morning, and we join with them to celebrate your grace. So I pray the Holy Spirit use my word to share the message from the scripture and only from the scripture. I pray the Holy Spirit be among your people to understand and to apply the message to their life. We love you, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's kind of interesting because the night before Jesus' death is a paradox for the disciple. What should be the night of celebrating Passover was turned upside down by Jesus' seemingly strange action. If you read the passage, he used scripted words, and his institution of new and confusion meals. First, there was a tension came when Jesus took the basin of water and the towel and washed the disciples' feet in John chapter 13, verse 4 and 5. It's strange because he had never done that before. And then there were very, very strange and confusing when he mentioned something about someone betraying him. When asked who, on he would say, he's the one I give the piece of bread to after I have dipped it in John chapter 13, verse 26. And then to cap off all the confusion, he instituted a new meal. Okay, because traditionally, the Israel, once a year, they get together, they have a Passover meal. But here, Jesus Christ instituted a new meal, a meal that pointed to event they were to remember, but has not yet even happened yet. So he's talking about remember this meal, but it's not even happened. But make sure remember. So that night, if you are Jesus Christ's disciple, it's a confusion night for them. Okay? Or maybe you're much better on, but when I read this, I put myself as Peter or John or James, you know, I'm confused if I was there. But we are much better than the disciple because we had the benefit of look back that evening through the lens of resurrection. And we understand that night. So we're much in much better shape than Jesus Christ's disciple. We understand his actions. We understand his word. We understand the meals. We understand that the Lord's Supper is a celebration of God's grace. So today, I'm talking about two things from the passage. God's substitution grace and God's redeeming grace. God's substitution grace, the Bible said, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When you study the gospel, there is no word grace appear in any of the gospel account. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, okay, about this account, there is no word grace in the gospel account, which Jesus instituting in the Lord's Supper. But when you read the passage, you can understand grace on over the meal. And when it gets to verse 19, when he's talking about Jesus broke the bread, and of it he said, this is my body. The breaking of the bread, the breaking symbolized breaking of his body would endure on the cross and is a reminder of God's substitution grace. So when we celebrate resurrection, okay, we remember only a couple of nights before Christ died on the cross. His body very much broken, okay, get poked, the blood poured in down, and in pain. So when he broke the bread, he meant, okay, I will be endured on the cross. And remember that because God substitutionary grace to honor you. And when you study the Bible in the book of Romans, when Paul wrote the letter to the church of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23, he's talking about, for all who have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So all of us have sinned. And of course, because of that sin, we separate from the Lord. But it's so interesting, and then few chapters after that, three chapters later to be exact, in chapter 6, verse 23, Paul wrote, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So initially, he very much said, we are on sin. From Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, the sin come into the world. And if you continue to read from Genesis chapter 3 and on the way to the book of Luke, things get worse for the human race. Okay? It gets worse. And Paul or Luke or Christ try to stress, we fall short of the glory of God. However, there's a good news. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, reminding why and how he died on the cross. And why he died on the cross? Because of sin. And he also very much stressed to us, all humans are sinners, and all humans deserve death. But by grace, Jesus offered his body in the place of all humans. And why we can understand this? Because when you read the Bible, especially when you read the letter of Paul to the church, he keeps stress or reminding us about Jesus Christ. About Jesus Christ. I read a few examples, like in the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become righteousness of God. So because of us, so Christ had to carry our sin. Okay, that's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. So because of that, we might become righteous to God. And Paul also wrote a lot of verses, example like in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, "For I pass on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sin according to the scripture." So in the Bible wrote a lot of statement or expression about how Christ died on the cross because of our sin. And if you read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, he himself bore our sin in his body on the tree, so that having died to sin, we may live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. So each one of us as a sinner, and through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, and we become righteousness in front of God. And that's what he meant. One thing when you read the passage, you find out is human or the people deserve the cross because of sin. And the Lord's Supper celebrate in Christ's grace. God provide his son, Jesus Christ, as a substitution for all who put their faith in Jesus. One of the story, if you study in the history, you would find out in the time of Napoleon, one of the French emperor. And there's a man, you know, at that time they do the like the ballot thing. Okay, you pick the name, and whoever get pick the name off the box will send to the frontier or the front, and 99.9% will die because the battle. So one guy, he wanted to run away from that, but he didn't know what to do. And he didn't want to go. So one of his friends offered, how about his friend would use his name and put the name in the box. And somehow that name was picked. And his friend, under his name, sent to the battle and died and get buried. So let's just say, his name is John. Okay, his friend, let's just say Mark, but now Mark becomes John and then die and bury and go through all the ceremony of burial. And short time later on, by mistake, somehow they put John's name again. So somehow, whatever the reason, they pick out the name John. So this guy said, "No, I cannot go because I already dead. You already buried me. Just go back to the book and verify that." So they open the book, they verify, yes, you already dead. But under the law, if you already dead, you cannot be sent to the Bible. You cannot pick again. So at that time, the people, they used the word substitution. So basically, you have somebody already substitute you to send to the battle and die. And by the law, we cannot send the second dead person, the dead person on the record, to go to the battle. And the same thing you would find out when Jesus Christ, by substitution, died on the cross for you. Basically, under the eyes of the Lord, Holy God, you are righteousness because he already paid for your sin. Sin of the past, the present, the future is already wiped out. And of course, as long as we still live on this world, we make mistakes. But the Bible said, when you come to him and pray and confess, and then he will forgive you so we can move on. But one thing for sure, you already righteousness in front of God. And when you pray, accept Christ as your Lord, your Savior, you have eternal life. And nobody can take that away, even the devil, even the Satan cannot take that away. Secondly, we're talking about God's redeeming grace. The Bible said, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. From traditionally, when you have the cup and the wine was put it in, so it represents in this passage the blood of Jesus Christ. It's so important to understand because without shedding the blood, there is no forgiveness. If you go back to the book of Leviticus, chapter 17, because Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11 say, for the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have appointed it to you to make atonement on the altar for your life, since it is the life blood that makes atonement. So if we build on that truth, the writer of the book of Hebrew, the letter of Hebrew in New Testament, wrote in chapter 9, verse 22, according to the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without shedding the blood, there is no forgiveness. Try to understand this, because back in the Old Testament, when the people have sinned, they bring the offering to God, had to be alive, and had to be shed, had to be killed and shed the blood on the altar. Okay, and the high priest pray for the people. They say, because, okay, your sin will wipe away because the animal already killed, the blood already shed. So the Lord would not kill you, you know, to be basically like that. And the same thing, when we have sin, we will die forever, eternal death. But because of blood of Christ shed for us, as the lamb or, you know, sacrificial lamb. So under the eyes of God, Christ already poured out the blood for you already. And you become righteousness. And you become very much like clean before God. And you can make peace with God from that perspective. And that's what Leviticus or the book of Hebrew try to tell in us. And Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according riches of his grace. And that's what Paul tried to communicate with people, help the people to understand how Christ redeems us. Because as a human being, we cannot come to God and say, hey, I'm doing a good work, so I will be clean. No, it won't work that way. Somebody had to pay the price first so we can have eternal life. One of the stories probably you're very familiar with, back in, before World War II, there is the gathering in one of the English estates in England. And one of the kids go to, the river and do some swimming. And he very much like lost his foothold and he kept sink. And one of the gardeners very much jump into the river and rescue the child. And that child's name is Winston Churchill. So his parents, so grateful of this gardener, and they ask, what can I do for you to pay for, you rescue our child? Winston Churchill. And the gardener very much hesitated and said, "Well, I wish my son can go to college someday. And he wants to become a doctor." So the Churchill family promised, "Okay, you know, if he's done with high school, we will pay for college and pay for his medical school so he become a doctor." So we move forward from that time to the future when Winston Churchill, he was the prime minister in England, he got very, very sick, stricken up pneumonia. And at that time, the country's best physician was counted in to very much like to help him, to cure him. And this doctor named Alexander Fleming. Some of you study biology, you know the name, and study history. This man very much discovered and developed penicillin. And Fleming very much helped to heal Winston Churchill. And Fleming, Alexander Fleming, was the son of the gardener who saved Winston Churchill. So you would find out is something had happened in the story here. Because something the gardener do, and years later, it very much hit the next generation, saved Winston Churchill, very much like twice. The father saved him, and later on the son saved him. And that's the story of redeeming, believe it or not, if you read the story closely. That reason why, at the end of his life, Churchill remarked, "Really, that one man owned his life twice to the same person, Fleming." So, God substituted grace to us, and he redeemed grace for us. And if we go back to the story of Exodus again, at that time, you could find out the Israelite over. They stay at their home in Egypt and they eat the meal, okay? You know, prepare hurriedly. But the Egyptian at that time, they live in nightmare because every firstborn male was stricken and died. So what is the difference in the story of the past which the Bible tried to communicate to us? The difference is at the doorpost of the Israelite was a cover of the blood of the lamb. That's the only difference. So they stay in the safety of their home and they eat the meal. They call it a Passover meal. And here the Egyptian, the first boy or the first son, gets sick and die. So when I read this, it helped me to understand, and I hope I communicate to you. On us, we are the follower of Jesus Christ. We have been forgiven, and all of us have eternal life. And we already escaped the angry or the wrath of God because we have covered by Jesus Christ's blood. He already paid the price for us already. And that's what we call grace. And that's why it's worthy for us to celebrate grace this morning. And most of the Baptist church this morning study the book of Luke. And most of the Baptist church celebrate grace this morning. And hopefully, you know, when you have time, go back and read the book of Exodus. Understand what's going on from that time. And go back and read the book of look and understand how everything happened and how everything connect to Jesus Christ, and hopefully it connect to your life. So when you face the world, you face the world with confidence. Okay? You face the world with peace, with confidence, because you know for sure you have eternal life. Nobody can take it away. Okay? Let us stand up and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much because the passage this morning reminding us how you died on the cross, how Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid the death of our sin. And because of believing in him, we have everlasting life. And all of us, follow up Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. We already escaped the wrath of God. And we already covered, because we are covered with his blood. And this morning, we celebrate your grace. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with all God's children in this room from now and forever. Amen.